looking for something.
Hey, what's up? We're here with part two of this previous podcast. I kept saying it was 15. It was actually 16.
All right.
So I uploaded the first one, 16.1, and this will be 16.2, the continuation of the one from last night. We had to bounce a little early. We did a kettlebell class. Why don't you explain The Biggest Loser again real quick? Because I listened to it today, and you kind of did it fast.
Yeah.
I think it's actually a good contest.
Yeah, so we're doing a Biggest Loser contest in the office. And if you haven't watched the Biggest Loser contest on TV, it's very similar. So except we're not, 800 pounds. Yeah. Whatever they're...
Yeah, they're huge, right, yeah, they're in that huge show?
Yeah, like I weighed in at 188.8. So my goal is to get to 169. And then that's...
In 30 days.
In 30 days. So we started, July 4th, right? No, yeah. July 5th. July 5th.
Yesterday,
yeah,
Wednesday.
Yeah, July 5th, 8:45. We all weighed in. We all took off our shirts. We all took pictures. We all did our body fat percentage, right? And we made a big, like matrix on the wall. We put our name. We put how much we weighed, what we start at. We put the body fat percentage. And then everyone else did the same. And I think there's 9 participants.
Yep.
So the goal is whoever loses the most weight relative to their weight wins. So, for example, if I lose 20 pounds, that's, roughly, or say 18 pounds, that's 10% of my body weight. And let's say Jose, who weighs 225, he loses 18 pounds.
Yeah, like, people's goals are pretty lofty.
They're
30 days. Benny's trying to lose 35 pounds. You're trying to lose 20. Jose's trying to lose 35 or 30.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going from 181 to like 175, and that's even to stretch for me.
Yeah, but you look pretty good already.
I'm a bigger dude. And I'm in pretty good shape, so I don't really want to lose weight, but I can lose a little bit and be a little more, have some better abs coming in. So I'm down with that. But we did the kettlebell class last night, and that was actually a pretty good class.
Yeah, we did the kettlebell class. Yes. So there's a couple criteria to participate in the event. So the first thing is, obviously, you have to weigh in, okay? Once a week. Second thing is you have to participate in the community fitness event. So the community fitness event is the kettlebell class on Wednesdays over in Nutley at Momentum Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. We have an awesome kettlebell class. And, of course...
You got to go at least three out of the 4 times in the next month.
That's what I was about to say.
Right, and you get one pass. You could skip 1 week of that class. So there's 8 of us total in this right? 8 of us?
Yeah, eight of us.
8 of us in the Biggest Loser, and 5 people took the pass on the first week for the class. Only me, Kevin, and Brian went. So now the other 5 have to go to the next 3 weeks of kettlebell class.
Otherwise, they're disqualified.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So Christine skipped the class and went to an all-eat buffet instead.
Yeah, was ridiculous.
Which is ridiculous. Stephanie, I said, why aren't you coming? She's like, because I'm going to the gym. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That doesn't even make sense.
It doesn't make any sense. You're going to go to a class where you'll burn 3 times the amount of... Because you burn... I was fucking sweating in there.
Yeah, it was hot. Right before you began, he goes, air conditioner,
I know, you're a jerk
fan.
Off.
And I was the jerk off. I said, just do the fan.
The guy goes, air conditioner or fan? He goes... Just use the fan. I want to sweat. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I don't want to sweat with a bunch of guys next to me and their sweat creeping, like touching my sweat. I don't want that.
There was so much sweat. There's like a river of sweat.
It's fucking disgusting. That's why I don't like that shit, man. But I'm going to do it because I said I would and I committed.
Yeah. It just shows you like 99% is just showing up.
That's all it is.
Like most people didn't even show up.
I know.
I put $400 up. I said, at the end, we have a nice dinner. And, like, they're going to go and do it anyway. And then, of course, they just still don't go. They still don't go to the kettlebell class. Stephanie went to the gym. She could have literally hopped in the car with us.
Went to the class. I got a better workout.
Exactly.
Because I tell you, look, I go to the gym. I lift weights almost every time. And then I'll do some cardio, 20 minutes, a half hour, whatever, 40. I'll do the treadmill. I'll run. I'll switch it up. But when you have someone in charge of the class... making you go. On top of that, it's like timed rounds. So, there's girls in the class. You can't be a pussy and stop unless you're hurting yourself. You got to finish it off. So you push yourself because of people around you and because the guy at the front saying, come on, don't quit. 10 more seconds. Let's go. Come on. Don't stop.
Yeah.
So that's why people hire trainers, because it's very difficult to push yourself as hard as someone else will push you.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I always say this, you gotta get someone to motivate you if you're not motivated to do it. But once you have the vehicle or the person to motivate you, then your behavior takes over. Like remember back, was it 3 years ago when we started getting back into shape?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was three, maybe even longer. Maybe it was like 5 years ago. So we started Insanity. Insanity workout, and dude, that was a killer workout. So every morning what we would do is go to Anthony's basement.
Yeah. Right,
in Hasbro.
If you guys know, I'm sure everybody here has seen the commercial for the Insanity workout.
That's probably right? One of the toughest workouts. I've done a lot of workouts.
Hardest workout I ever did. You guys have all seen the infomercial. It's not really playing anymore, but for a while, for like 2 years, you saw it all the time.
That started.
Sean T, the Insanity workout. Yep. So I was overweight at this time, and I was like, that's it, we're doing it. I had my old house over here, which is a couple miles away in Hasbro Heights. I had a 6,000 square foot house, and I had a movie theater in the basement, and the screen was 150 inches with a HD projector, right? So, and there was plenty of room. We moved the couches out of the way, so we were doing it at 5 in the morning.
Dude, that was early as right? shit.
Because we had to, because back then, we were traveling to New York City to, we had an office in New York doing the call center in the city, and you had to leave early in the morning to get there because the traffic crushes you over here, and we would not take the bus or the train. We tried the bus once. I was like, fuck this bus. I'd rather sit in my truck and drink coffee and be comfortable.
No, we tried the bus. Then we tried the train, and they're like, no.
No shot. No fucking way. So I'd rather drive and sit in traffic than go on that fucking bus. So anyway, so I recruited Kevin. I recruited my stepson, Conrad.
He got in good shape too.
Two of his friends.
Yeah.
Right? And there was one more. It was six of us, right?
Who the hell else?
Another person that was overweight that tried to do it with us. We started with six. The workout, the Insanity workout, 60 days. So I got this movie theater, right? Projection. And I got like the stereo system I had in my basement was like you were in a fucking nightclub. So I put the Insanity workout in. It was like you were in the fucking room with the guy. He was bigger than you on the TV screen, yelling at you, come on, let's go, let's go. So you feel like you were at the class with the sound and everything. It was good. After the first week, two people dropped off. Next week, two people dropped off. Next thing you know, there was 4 weeks left. Even Kevin dropped off.
Yeah, I was like sporadic. I would jump in and out.
And then next thing you know, it was just me and my stepson.
Wait, was John Laurel? Was he there?
No, it wasn't John Laurel. Okay. And the last 4 weeks, I was no matter what, I was going to do it. And the last 4 weeks was me and my stepson. Meanwhile, the kid's, you know, probably 14 years old at the time, 15 years old. And I'm waking this kid up at 5 in the morning. The kid sleeps till noon, you know what I mean? And he couldn't take it no more either. I was forced. He skipped a couple of them because he just, you know, but I finished the whole fucking thing. And you know what? In 60 days, I lost like 27 pounds with that workout.
Damn.
Yep. Yep.
So, I mean, but ever since then, like you've been.
And that
literally changed everything.
That actually started my back into fitness. And since then, I literally have not gone more than 2 days in a row without going to the gym in 4 years.
Yeah.
Unless I'm on vacation or something. Even if I go on vacation, I work out in the hotel gym in the morning if I can. I always try to sneak something in. So for 4 years straight now, I have not missed a fucking beat.
Yeah, and that's because you changed your behavior. Like, literally, you motivate yourself with that. And then the next thing was something else. I forgot what was after that. And then it was something else. And then Greg Davison flew in, and he came in for like 2 weeks and showed us a different way to work
CrossFit.
Out.
CrossFit. I just stayed in the...
You just got to keep on staying. But,
you know,
but like,
what people don't get is that it's a way of life if you want to be healthy and fit.
Well, you way know? Of life is behavior. You got to change like your internal
like everything,
mechanism.
Everything, the diet, the way you eat, everything. And, people instead, they do these binge diets, right? The newest diet, try this, try that. And they just lose weight and then they gain it right back because they don't change. You got to change it forever.
Yeah, I know.
And when you get older, it just gets harder. Like I find it was harder this year for me to lose weight before the summer to get shredded than it was 2 years ago. A lot harder.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? I'm working out just as hard 2 years ago and it's not coming off. And I had to go work out even harder and eat even healthier. It's ridiculous how hard it is.
Yeah.
If you really want to be in good shape. So anyway, we went a little rant there, but I think people could appreciate that. It's a good thing, right?
No, but you got to stay motivated in business too. I mean, look what happened with Ricky yesterday. Like he was a little upset. So I said, come over, and he ended up jumping in the podcast, and we ended up, you know, having some really good conversations on the side and in the podcast. Yeah. And he went back and he felt rejuvenated. Yeah. Like the same thing happened.
We could tie this right in with work because I tell you this. You know, since I started being healthy and eating healthy, my production, my productivity, my thinking, the clarity I have in my head, decision-making has been so much better than it was 4 years ago. I'm clear. I have a lot of energy. I don't feel sluggish. You know when you feel like shit after you eat a greasy fucking meal and you're just like, you want to lay down, you're tired at work, like, you gotta drink coffee all day just to stay awake. I don't have any of that.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do people eat shitty and then still feel good? Like, is it possible to eat crappy and feel good?
No.
I think you have to eat good to feel good. I think it's like goes hand in hand.
Can the only time you feel good after you eat crappy is if you're out drinking and you eat like shit, but then the next day you feel like shit.
No, yeah, for like a moment you feel good.
Yeah. No, you can't eat like shit and feel good.
I just thought about that right now. If you eat shitty, is it possible to feel good? And you know what? It's not possible.
You don't. And I don't care what anybody says, you know? And look, I'm not judging anybody. I'm not talking shit about anybody. But people that are overweight, you know, and they say to themselves, I mean, I'm fine, I'm happy the way I am. You know what? You're not. Deep inside, you're not. You know, you look at other people who are in good shape, and in your head, you're like, I wish I was in that kind of shape. You just do. It's just naturally. You feel better when you're in shape. You feel better when your clothes fit you nice. You just feel, you feel more confident. You exude confidence. You're more confident in business. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Right, and that's it. So people could try to deny that and say, no, I'm happy where I am. No, you're not, bro. You can't even see your dick when you go to the bathroom. You're not happy. All you see is your gut. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? You're not happy. You know, how do you wipe your ass? I don't understand.
I didn't tell you this, but at one point I was 215 pounds in college.
215?
Dude, look at me now.
But you were big, though. No, weren't you in shape?
I was big, but still, I got to that point. So
You're like sloppy big?
So I tore my left pec.
Yeah, I remember.
So I tore my left pec, and I was like, fuck this. I ain't working out anymore.
You went bad?
So what I did was, Rutgers has the grease trucks, right?
You can just imagine the grease trucks. Fat cats?
Yeah, you go down, you eat. So I would just, like, for lunch, I would eat that, and then my girlfriend at the time, she just kept on feeding me, like fucking shitty food. And I'm telling you, I didn't
feel. How fat did you get?
215 pounds. So right now, right now, this morning, I weighed in at 183.
Your face must have been so bloated.
Well, you see the pictures back there.
That's terrible. I was fat too, man. You see pictures on my Facebook, you go through them, you see some fat ones. I'm like, I saw one the other day. I'm like, I look like I ate myself. No. I'm like, I'm 210 fucking pounds.
No, we had that
video. My suit was like a fucking triple X of 48.
Remember that video we did? Loyal Nine Revolution video.
Yeah.
And you were talking in the front, and people see that video now, they're like, what the fuck? Like,
my head was completely round like a fucking basketball. It's terrible. Yeah, how easy.
Not only that, but you were really pale too.
Yeah, I was white, pale, big fat fucking head. It was terrible. All right, let's go. Let's talk about the boost event. So I didn't go. I almost died. Member hospital yesterday, part one. Kevin went with Christine. We talked yesterday how you went to the welcome reception at Tao Downtown, which is like one of the nicest restaurants in New York. Real trendy.
Yeah,
I gotta
say this, though.
Real sick.
It was probably the most packed.
Yeah, you said that.
I don't know how many people were there at the.
It's a big place.
But I'm going to guess there's probably like 2,000 to 3,000.
But it was in a restaurant, not in the club, right?
Yeah, it was in the restaurant.
In the restaurant.
But it was huge.
Like upstairs and downstairs with the big Buddha?
Most packed I've ever seen.
Okay.
Most packed I've ever
seen. So you went there. That's where you met the Energizer guy you talked about yesterday.
Energizer Bunny guy.
And met the BJJ guy.
Yeah.
All right, so let's fast forward to the next day when you actually had the event with the sessions. What kind of sessions did they have?
Yeah, so the event was in a large warehouse. They had multiple sections and... I have a little notebook here. It's Boost with FBA. I'm gonna open it up. So, I wrote a couple notes down, and a lot of them are not detailed oriented, but they're very whatever. It's like general thoughts or general trends. So one thing that they mentioned was private label is driving growth in Amazon. So what that means is not the big companies like Nike and Adidas. That's not driving Amazon's growth. It's like guys like us. So guys like us. You know, finding a little niche and like I'll give you an example. So they had a little where everyone was on stage, not everybody, but a couple sellers were on stage, and one guy was selling some kind of bomb. I forgot what it was, but some kind of like lip balm or whatever, and it was like an organic bomb that you can use for your skin and your lips to prevent like a bunch of different diseases, whatever the case is. But the point is, like, his private label brand was growing. Right, because he found a little niche to do that. Same thing with us. Like, look at our little niche, right? So, private label, sellers are helping Amazon expand. So that was one.
And I said this on one of the drives too. You know, I think another reason why is that you know, because we take all these classes, like all of us, meaning FBA and merch, you know, we're learning from people how to properly write the title, the listing, the images, blah, blah, blah. We pay a lot of attention to detail. Like when I see, you know, a lot of these big companies who outsource their marketing or Amazon online stuff to other companies, they're not doing all this little keyword research and reorganizing the titles and the bullets to squeeze in this and that. Like they're not, they're just doing stuff on a mass scale.
Yep.
And they're just putting up what's required to get it up there. You know, so like, you know, if you see like Marvel or Nike selling shirts on merch, I know Marvel is, I don't know about Nike, but a couple of the brands are now getting on merch. But I look at their listings, it's just like, you know, Spider-Man T.
Yeah,
you know, get your, yeah, it's just like, there's no keyword, like, they don't give a fuck, you know what I mean? Because they're not going to pay attention to the detail and the marketing and the PPC like a private seller, because we're using our own money.
Well, here's the thing, you start small to get big. That's a great saying, but with like bigger companies, they have to launch, like they have to have a projection of making X amount of money.
Period.
For them. So it's got to be a big project for
big,
them.
Yeah.
So why are they going to look at the like the organic lip balm,
right,
you know, thing? It's not worth it. Like the risk,
right,
versus reward. For them to put, you know, X amount of executives, X amount of resources towards a project that may only return a little bit. But for us, like, you can make 30, 40, 50 grand a month doing that. And that's good for guys like us, right?
Yep.
So, that was something interesting. Private label growth or private label is definitely driving growth in Amazon. So that was one thing. Another thing that they mentioned over and over was seller fulfilled prime. So with seller fulfilled prime, you just have to have the shipping metrics in line with their internal metrics.
You use their UPS deal to do it?
I don't know all the details.
It's got to be.
But they just kept on
loose.
They just kept on talking about it over and over and over again because they want, you know, the end customer, which is Amazon's consumer, to be, you know, happier.
You know how
right?
much money you save? Us. I'm saying us. If we did seller fulfilled prime,
yeah.
Now you're not paying Amazon their 15%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but you're dealing with the returns. You're dealing with all that shit, man. And you got a guaranteed 2-day delivery. If you fuck that up, they throw you right off of it.
Yeah.
Because it has to be exactly like their prime. You had to get it there within 2 days. That's it. And if someone requests one day, you got to get it there overnight.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
So that's something I probably wouldn't want to get into for a while.
Another thing that they mentioned
was, imagine we're selling 5,000 units a month. You're going to have Julie shipping out one-offs?
Unless your system and process is really tight, it's
really,
not,
really
it's
fucking
really
tight. Like a fucking assembly line.
Yep.
Like they have.
Yeah.
Like an FBA warehouse has.
You would have to be equivalent to Amazon.
If we're doing 150 right now, we sold 5,000 products last month. So
5,000 units.
Units, yeah. Overall. It's about 150 then, right, a day, 150, 170.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine her sending out one at a time, 150 different units, the shipping labels, different addresses, all place, keeping track of that. You got to provide the customer with tracking info as well. Here's your track their package.
I think we could do it, but we got to get, like, involved in it because right now everything's FBA. Nothing is fulfilled by
because
itself.
Because you focus on marketing and getting more products up than doing shipping.
Yeah.
I'd rather pay him on the money
but,
for
but
it.
But the other thing they mentioned with Seller Fulfilled Prime, they said it works really well with these particular...
Small stuff, right?
So, no, well, I'll give an example. Like, if you're a jeweler, right? You don't want to ship
$100,000
worth of Rolex watches into Amazon
FBA. Of course.
You're going to do Seller Fulfilled Prime. Another group of items, like big items, like refrigerators. Like, you're not going to ship a bunch of refrigerators into Seller Fulfilled Prime. Into FBA. So, there was a bunch of different products that they suggested would be perfect for Seller Fulfilled Prime. We didn't really fit into that.
Nope.
And then the Energizer guy, I turned to him. I said, do you do Seller Fulfilled Prime? He goes, yeah. And then he gave me like a condition where it worked for him, but he wasn't like excited about
it. Even him, and he does 4 million a year.
Yeah, so it was just, you know, it was something on the side, but they're definitely pushing it. I feel like Amazon's trying to figure out the last mile of delivery. So whether it's like with drones, right, or them buying Whole Foods and trying to figure out, well, Whole Foods all has all these like, you know, different locations where they can deliver, you know, very close to people to deliver food. So another thing they mentioned was
they talked about Whole Foods a lot.
They might have mentioned it.
They didn't talk a lot about it.
No, I think it was just like a mention. But another thing that they mentioned was like, okay, if you have vans that you could deliver same day, they mentioned like delivery same day if you are a company.
Oh, they're gonna be contracting out delivery services.
Yeah, but well, let's say for example we own a like a refrigerator company,
and
so,
you have trucks,
and we have trucks, so
right.
Somehow they have a local program for that. So that was like in the talk of Seller Fulfilled Prime.
Yeah.
So yeah, they talked about that a lot. Another thing that they kept on speaking about was Global sales are driving growth. So the global consumer.
I've been getting so many emails about expanding globally. Yeah. I don't know if I want to put my feet into that right now.
You know, again, like
the shipping logistics. Let me tell you my thoughts on it real quick.
Yeah.
Is that if the problem with our business is this, our specifically, is that we get product from China, right? It's not, and that product that we get goes over like 100, 200 different SKUs. Right, so it has to come here and get prepped by our warehouse, Julie, and then shipped to FBA. If we had one SKU, right, and we had 10,000 units going from China directly to the UK FBA warehouse, shipping right from there to there, and China prepped it with UPC codes and everything and got it ready for FBA, then I could see us doing it. We can't do that. Yeah. We still have to have it come here to our warehouse, have Julie prep it, then it has to go to fucking the UK. You know what kind of shipping costs we're going to incur? Then what happens is we have to price our product so far higher than other people that our competition's going to...
Well, I mean, that's one logistics solution. The other one would be find a 3PL over in the UK or in Europe.
Yeah, that's the only other way.
So anyway, there's a couple... Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's a bunch of problems that they were talking about, and then they spoke about the solutions. So a couple problems being logistics, right? So they're trying to figure out different logistics solutions. Another thing they talked about was pan-Europe fulfillment. So you could ship a big shipment into Europe and then they'll distribute it across all the different platforms, whether it's like Amazon UK or Amazon, whatever, Bulgaria. I don't even know if they have Amazon Bulgaria, but... So the point was, that was one thing. The other thing that they spoke about was, currency... denomination. So like, for example, like we don't want to get paid in pounds or we don't want to get paid in euros. We want to get paid in dollars.
Right.
So they're coming up with tools to exchange the money into something.
I read that.
Yeah. Into something that, works for us.
You know, it's a good blog, Seller Labs, which is the company that makes Scope and Feedback Genius. They have a really good email. They do a lot of good webinars, Facebook Live stuff, and they have a good emails that go out and give you recaps of what's going on with Amazon. Seller Labs, you guys should get on that email list because it's just good information to know what Amazon's doing, how they're planning on growth. I mean, a lot of you guys probably do FBA anyway if you're in merch. So
yeah,
but
I mean, one last thing I want to mention. They mentioned a lot about like management science and how Jeff Bezos like runs his company, and I thought it was interesting because we have the same mentality. Like, you got to have a goal in mind, whatever that goal is in the future. But day to day, you got to be like frantic. So as in, you got to have the energy to put in for the day to get whatever you have to do complete. But you have to be patient enough for the long term.
Yep.
So you have a goal in mind. It's long term. You're patient enough to get there. But day to day, you better work fucking hard and fast and quick as hell. Like,
that's how I
not am. Being patient short term. You can't be patient short term. Look at us. Like,
my list is gross. I can't even get this shit done in a fucking day. And doing all the content that we're doing too, it's fucking nuts. So it's frantic all day.
Yeah, so they have a concept. It's called day one. Like, every day is day one. And then he goes on, and I'm gonna really, really botch this up. It was like,
is he an intense dude?
I don't know. He seems pretty, when I've watched him on video, he seems pretty relaxed, right?
Is he?
Yeah.
Because I'm getting a lot of like lately. For some reason, the last 2 months, besides Veronica, all the time saying, "Do you have to be so intense all the time? Please, can you just relax?"
I get that. I've been like, you know, my whole life too.
Even friends of mine, like, "Dude, why are you yelling at me? We're at the restaurant." I'm like, "I'm not yelling. They're like, just fucking, you're nuts. Like, what's wrong? Calm down." It's like, "You've checked your you checked your blood pressure?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's fine."
I think your intensity level is like one level above, like even mine.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's not good.
I mean, if you die, I still get money. I still get $3 million. I know. All right. So going back to Jeff. So I'm going to really botch this. So he goes, every day is like day one. Day two is stasis. Day two after that, or, you know, the day after that is then death. So that's why every day has to be day one, right? So you got to have that mentality, that perspective. Like, it's like losing weight. Like, you're patient enough to know that you're going to lose weight in the long term, but you got to be frantic enough to, like, get up every morning at 6 a.m. to go and run or go to the gym. It's the same thing.
It's hard.
It really is. Otherwise, like, it's going to take a very, very long time for you to achieve your goals if you're not, like frantic. Or I don't know. Frantic's might be not the best word. What's a better word than that? Like, intense? I don't know. Intense?
No, not intense. It's, for me, it's fucking frantic, dude. Yeah. I keep looking at my list and just not trying to knock shit off as fast as I could that I know has to get done. The problem is sometimes I look at the list. I'm like, is this high impact? Is this high impact?
Should you got to always ask that question.
I know, but it's hard because it's all important stuff.
I know.
Like the emails for Loyal 9, the emails for this company, the emails for Momentum. Like it's all important.
Yeah.
You know? So I don't know. Eventually going to outsource even more stuff.
Okay. Two last bullet points here. There was something called small and light. So we had never did anything, or we never priced anything under like $10 because the fees were a lot. But they had certain.
We also we haven't sourced a product cheap enough to go at $10 either.
So there were certain parameters for small and light being under $10, being under certain dimensions, and if that was the case, then Amazon would cut their fees. So there's a small and light program that you can enter into for products, and then that would benefit you, and it's going to benefit us as soon as we find the product that we're going to sell that fits into the small and light. I think we actually have one, right? That's going to fit into the small and light?
Maybe.
All right. The last thing is this. So I go in with the mindset of finding, something about merch, like information about merch, like a contact inside of merch, or maybe just someone pointing me in the right direction of like, oh yeah, you know, merch, I know who that is. I know who the guys that work there, something like that. So I go in. So when you first walk in, over to the right, a big banner says, ask an expert. So, okay, this is my first shot at it. So I'm waiting in line. I go up to them, and I say, I'm probably going to ask you a question you never heard before. So I'm going to phrase it like, oh, I'm going to just tell you what it is. It's called Amazon Merch or Merch by Amazon. And they go, huh? They didn't even know.
I had no idea.
So, and then I start explaining the whole program. I said, Amazon launched a program called Amazon Merch or Merch by Amazon where you're given the opportunity as a seller to upload designs, put them on their website, and then if a customer comes and buys that, Amazon will print those designs on t-shirts and send them out. So I was like literally describing, he was just smiling because he had no idea.
That's crazy. Right.
So that's my first. So I'm walking around the event, and then we have a 15-minute consultation with an Amazon executive who, not really an Amazon executive, it just ends up being like an Amazon worker. So part of that 15-minute...
The one-on-one.
Yeah, the one-on-one. Part of that 15-minute conversation, the first question I ask is, okay, do you know about Amazon merch? And he goes, well, I'm not supposed to answer anything that's not FBA, but no, I have not heard about that. So he goes and he turns his computer around and he starts searching for merch inside of his internal database, which he shows me. And he's like, I can't find
it. Logged in his Amazon.
Yeah, and logged in his Amazon. It's either A, he doesn't know how to use the Rolodex, which John thinks like, you know, John Laurel, he works for a bigger company. He's like, yeah, the guy didn't know how to use the Rolodex. Or B, like, they just can't be found.
Internally. Well, they have like, how many employees do they have? 50,000?
I have no idea.
More? Right. 100,000? You know?
So we go through this whole event. And hanging out with the Energizer guy, get some good information. I go to a VIP reception, and I'm sitting there with Chad from Scubana, right? So Chad is one of our friends. He has some great software that we use for inventory management. There's about, 30 sellers in there. And towards the end of the event, he sends a guy towards me. He goes, oh, tell me about merch. So I said that we have a podcast called Amazon Merch Jersey Edition. He starts cracking up. He's like, tell me about it. So I say, oh, we curse, we do this, we tell stories. So he goes, so he likes like everything I'm saying. So he goes and gets another coworker of his. So in the end, I end up describing merch to these seven people. It was like the chief marketing officer, the chief revenue officer, the marketing director.
Oh, yeah, tell them what the company
was. And they weren't at the Boost event, they happen to be at the WeWork.
The networking event afterwards that our friend invited us to.
Yeah, they just happen to come downstairs to the refrigerator and like go
the common area.
Yeah, the common area.
WeWork is a co-working environment where you could just rent out a little room and a space with a computer, and there's like 30 or 40 different companies in one building, which is great because they collaborate.
Yeah.
So that's where the event was. So they weren't even part of the Amazon.
Yeah, they weren't having it, but it was probably one of the best contacts because they have this great company. It's called Gooten. So it's Gooten. And what they do is they take in orders, they send it through their software, and they have a network of printers, right? Who could pick it up and then print out whatever. So it's like
print on demand.
Yeah, it's a print on demand software company, and they could print up to 120 different products. Like,
did you reach out to them yet?
No, I got to do that.
We'll
set up a meeting. But
if we're going to the city tomorrow night,
why don't we
meet up with them?
Yeah, they were just a great group of guys. Like, great concept.
I'm gonna put it on your Trello.
They they have close to 60 people that are working for them, but I Great. Again, great group of guys.
See that, guys? That maybe talked about Trello, that productivity thing that we use, an app. Right now, I'm going on the Trello app. I'm going on to Kevin's Trello board. I'm putting on his inbox, contact, Gooten guys for drinks.
So, yeah.
That's
so,
why this tool is fucking awesome.
So, whatever. We connected really well on that, and we're going to, you know, meet up with them in I guess, tomorrow or the near future. I'll just got to send an email. But
today, call after
one of the best contacts. But yeah, that was the event. I mean, some great connections, some good information, and you know, when you go to events like that, a lot of times you walk away and you say, you know what, I'm gonna go back and I feel energized to go and take on the world. So yeah, it was a good event.
But you end up doing your best work when you're just talking to people. Yeah. And anyway, you know, meeting people, and then that'll lead us into this. So there's a Amazon merch event. So I saw that you guys know probably Chris Green is probably the biggest name in Amazon merch. He's got a huge group, and he said I'm having an event. You know, and at first I thought it was an official Amazon merch event, and when I looked, it wasn't. It's one that he's putting on. He's having speakers there, whatnot. You know, it's an event they're doing. They're making a couple bucks, and they're also teaching people and networking. You know, and at first I was like, oh, it's not a real Amazon merch event hosted by Amazon. So I was like, I don't know if we should go to this. I looked at the content that was going to be there. It seemed at first like for more like beginners. Then I was like, then over the weekend, someone contacted me and said, hey, are you going to the event? Then I was like thinking in my head, I'm like, what the fuck? Why are we not going to the event? Would it be crazy? The you know, live events is, you know, all the leaders, a lot of the leaders from the groups, guys like Ken Real, yep, who's a real nice guy. He sent me an invite to the event. But these are the people that you want to surround yourself with any kind of opportunity, especially when you're working from home, because you don't get to collaborate with a lot of people besides chatting in the groups. This is where you build relationships, at face-to-face, live events, over dinner, over drinks. So there's going to be a lot of top producers there, a lot of influencers who have contacts at Amazon Merch. So I was like, fuck it. We bought two tickets the other day. It's in Seattle, September 6th. If you guys want an invite or you still want to go, I believe it was half sold out as of yesterday. It's only 100 people too, which is great. The smaller, the better. You'll give a lot more opportunity to speak to everybody in the event. Hit me up on Facebook Messenger or even the group, or just ask Ken Real, R-E-I-L. He's the one who has the invites. He's putting on the event together with Chris Green, and they have a Shopify guy coming there. They're hopefully going to have someone from merch come there. Merch is right down the block from where the event is. There's a reason why they did it there, is because hopefully they'll get somebody from merch to come over and speak. So they're working on that. And, you know, events are what's up. And if you don't have the money, you're broke. You know what? Figure that out. You know, we've heard that excuse a million times from people when we were top producers in a BizOp opportunity back in 2009, 2010. You know, that's always the excuse you got from people. And you know what? You got to overcome it. Go borrow the money, put it on a credit card, get there, because it'll pay back 10 times over if you go to these live events. It really does. So, you know, if just go. Fucking figure out how to go.
So just to parlay off of that, I just sent the email.
To Gooten?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, I mean, look.
That's why you got it done.
Yeah, I have a concept. If I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it. It just goes on my Trello, and then I got to reprioritize and figure out, but I could do it under 2 minutes. I just finish it done.
All right, good. So, yeah, that event's going to be great. And then also, you know, Kevin's wife has somebody who has a contact directly at Amazon Merch, the head guy at Merch. We're hoping we can set up a meeting with him, at least for a drink, while we're out there. Supposedly, it's the guy who created Merch.
Well, we know who he is. We figured out who he was. I have a nice secret database to get information. So I could have reached out to him via email or phone call, but what we decided to do was see if we knew someone personally who could make the introduction. It's so much nicer.
Yep. So that'll be good. Yes, that's September. Benny's going to book the flights for us, the 5th to the 8th. There's a couple people from our group going. I think you saw Fernando and Mary going to be going, so it's nice to be meeting some people from the group. And was there anything else that we wanted to talk about? This is a continuation from yesterday.
I mean, I could talk about like the VA and some of the, you know, designers and stuff.
Was there any changes being made? We're maxed out right now. We did 15 sales yesterday, which was better than the last couple. We've been averaging 10 sales a day. Hopefully now we'll be 15, 20. I mean, enough's enough. I want to do 100 sales a day.
Yeah.
So you know, we talked yesterday how we're going to redo all the bullet points, which should make a big impact. And I'm sure at the event, we're going to get a lot of clarity on what you can do, when you can and can't do when it comes to the listings. We'll come back and we'll talk about all that here. So just for that reason alone, to know, listen, you could put this many keywords in. I had an Amazon merch executive look at my listings. He said, this is fine. You just can't do this, but you can do this. That's all I want to fucking know.
Yeah.
You could do this, but you can't do this. You could do this, but this is a violation. I just want to know what we can and can't do, and then we'll walk the line.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Like, before, if you listened to a couple podcasts ago, we were so concerned about copycats and USPTO problems and you know, all the other issues that come about with merch, but it's like they're not even issues now. Right, so we submitted.
You also have your trust in her hands.
Yeah, so right now the VA, she drafts everything up. Before, she was drafting up and then I was submitting. I was doing a once over, but I was able to get her mindset.
This might be the school. Hold on 1 second.
Her perspective the same as mine. So now, like, the way I was able to get her mindset and her perspective on track was I had a declining bonus. So I had a $50 bonus at the end of the month that she could hit. And if you had a USPTO or a word mark problem, or, you know, something got by where a design got rejected, then it would be minus 10 bucks. So, you know, she was scared that she wouldn't get the bonus, but she was more scared that, like, something would get rejected because, quote unquote, you know, she looks up to me. I'm her boss or her mentor. But anyway, the point being was, you know, we graduated from there. We haven't had too many, again, USPTO problems or copycat problems. And now we're on the mindset of, okay, how do we make more money? So now she's thinking the same thing as me. She's not thinking about it like, okay, are these designs going to get rejected? Now it's like, okay, these designs are going to get submitted. How do we make more money from the designs that we have? And I re-engineered that bonus. So instead of it being a declining bonus, I said, if we're at $4 per t-shirt live, then you're going to make 50 bucks. Or I think it was 100. If we're at $5 per t-shirt live, now we're at one. You're gonna make $150 at the end of the month. So every time it's notched up a dollar, then she makes an extra $50. So now, again, like, you know, this is how you manage, you know, employees, whether it's overseas or over here. Like, you got to get their mindset right, but also put the right incentives in place. But before that, you got to hire right. So I knew she was the correct hire, and. You know, so that's a little change with the VA. The second thing is with the designers, we figured out, like, you can't push the designers too hard. Like, you have something in mind where, you know, you want the designers to pump out 100 designs a week. Like, that's good in theory, but people can, especially if there requires some creativity, you can't push a creative person to produce quantity. After a certain point, it's going to break and the quality design is going to drop. So, you know, like, I'll give you a quick example. One designer, I want him to produce 70 designs a week. He's producing 50. So
for the same price, but you don't want to.
Yeah, push so it's $350 for the month. I'm paying. He's producing 200 designs a month. So what is that? Do the math. Like, 200 divided by 350.
It's, I don't know, $1.50.
Yeah, it's like $1.50. Right. So at $1.50, is it better? Is it worse than what we want? Like $1?
No, right? No. Just let them do good whatever. Designs.
I'd rather I just have them put good designs together.
Are they still pumping designs out?
They are.
Okay, so we're not going to fall behind.
They're it's starting to build up. So right now we're.
When we get teared up, we're not going to fall behind.
So right now we're at 1,000 slotted, and we can't submit anymore. So the designers are still producing those designs. But anyway, the point being is, like, you can motivate people with. Like, making them feel good. You can motivate them with fear. You can motivate them with stories. You can motivate them with the right incentives. You can motivate them by, you know, having them understand that you listen to them. Like the other day, the one guy got in a motorcycle accident. I didn't tell you about this. And he shot a picture of his, like, knee was all, like, fucked up. So he goes, I can't come in today. I really want to produce the signs. Let's just take care of that. Like, they'll respond back much better. And they'll produce.
Should have had them fucking work through it, okay? Yeah. So you know what? Shake it off and pump some fucking designs out.
They'll produce a lot better if they know that you care. So
that's us. That's a scratch. Come on, pal. I need 20 designs.
If you don't know about this,
I gotta fill my slots.
Yeah. Look up Maslow's hierarchy, and Maslow's hierarchy says, like, okay, in the beginning, like, people are concerned about just food, clothing, and shelter. And after that, they're more concerned about, you know, the higher levels of thought. And at the end, it's like spiritual. Like, you're talking about like them achieving spiritual greatness. But look it up. It's like a great way to understand how people like work. And a lot of times it's not just about money. It's about like, okay, what are your problems? It might be something personally. And look, I haven't even spoken to these guys all through Slack.
Yep,
like I'm literally managing them all through Slack. Every morning I spend 15 to 30 minutes like just saying hello, what's going on, what happened yesterday, and really, really, you know, understanding them. And that's a great way to manage. And then the rest of the day, I don't really have to talk to them, right? They're doing what they have to do. And we just got to get the revenue per live shirt up. And we know what the problem is, just the keywords. Once we fix that, everything...
I'm 90% sure it's what it is, so I'm pretty confident that redoing the bolts is going to help. So, and then if not, you know what? Next thing you know, we'll be in Seattle with a room full of top producers who are going to share their secrets, and maybe we are doing something fucking wrong. We don't know about it, but you know what? Now we're going to...
There's not many moving parts here. I mean, that's it.
They might have some secret shit going on you don't know about, okay?
They probably do.
Some secret tools. Yeah. Some spy tools. Who the fuck knows?
The other thing is this, like... You know, regarding the...
I have to get my sons. We're going to wrap it up soon. Unless you want to keep going, I'm gone.
No, that's it. I mean, I'm pretty much done. I was going to talk a little bit more about the USPTO problems, but right now they're, like, not even problems anymore.
No.
I'm, like, literally scraping to find something. So we have a sheet called the QA sheet that she writes up designs that fail one of our tests, which is best practices, the USPTO test, and then a copycat test. So for every design, it has to pass those three tests. And for the last 500 submissions, roughly... There's only been 25 fails internally that were quickly resolved. So, you know, one guy used a curse word on one of the designs. One of the designs, he used Hangry, H-A-N-G-R-Y, which is trademarked. But they're pretty good now. Once I wiped away all the other designers and now everyone's on the same page here, it's like I don't even have to... I don't really, really, really have to get into the details.
I'm hoping by next week's podcast, we'll have a lot of our bullets redone. We'll tell you about the impact. We did lower the price on a lot of shirts to $14.99. Probably about half of them have been done to $14.99. Yesterday, we had 15 sales, which was our best day in probably 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's related to that. We'll see. Let it go for a week. And next week, hopefully, we'll actually break 20 sales a day, which is where we should be right now. And maybe we'll be teared up by then, too. But I don't even mind not being teared up while we redo the bullets anyway for a week.
No, I'm actually happy we didn't tear up. I'm hoping for the next, like, 7 days, 10 days, we're not teared up, so I could just redo all the bullet points, redo all that shit.
I expect
and then
to be teared up like very
because
like
then once we
minute.
Do it, we'll have everything set, and then we could. You know,
yep.
Sometimes you gotta wait and inflect and you know do what you gotta
remember
do.
The goal is 6,000 designs by Christmas, so we can't wait that long. All right, guys. That's it. Wrapping it up. Be back next week, and happy merching.
Sweet dreams are made of this. Who am I to disagree? Travel the world in the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something.